welcome again to Western Kabuki. I am here, as always, with Caleb. Caleb, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I am vibing. And Juniper. Juniper, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just hanging out, having a great time.
And our guest this week is the champion of making people furious at him. seems to be better at it than just about anybody I've ever met. Miles Klee, how you doing, Miles?
What's up? No one's mad at me currently, but let's see if we can change that this episode.
We have a lot ahead of us. There's a lot of time. Yeah.
Before we do get into the subject, last time we talked to you was Sound of Freedom.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So since we talked last, are you comfortable telling us a little updates and how that's been going?
Yeah, no worries at all. I did a big expose about the studio that released the movie. They didn't make it. They just distributed it. They're pretty shady to basically no one's surprise. And it's Angel Studios, which is a bunch of Mormon brothers. There's like 9 of them. out in Provo, Utah. And a lot of their, basically the piece was just about how a couple of their promotional efforts, namely the pay it forward ticket scheme and and the sort of like investment in movies that they're making, are both just pretty deceptive.
When you say deceptive, how do you mean? Like what's deceptive about them? Like the deceptive in terms of like giving people an accurate idea of how many people saw the movie?
No. So it's deceptive about how they use your money. So they're really focused on these religious message films. Sound of Freedom had a lot of religious overtones, of course. And it's about Tim Ballard, who is Mormon. Although there's some rumors that he has maybe been excommunicated. Which he does.
Yeah. I remember that, like, right after that movie came out, there was some news, like, he got, like, arrested or something? Like, what happened with him?
He got kicked out of his own organization, right?
Yeah, so
he
founded this anti-trafficking org, OUR, Operation Underground Railroad, which is, like, pretty offensive to begin with, to call yourself the Underground Railroad.
Just an incredible name, holy fuck.
he got forced out of there because of an internal investigation about sexual misconduct. A lot more of that stuff came out about how he interacted with women in the organization. A bunch of like high level Mormon connections cut him off. There was a very rare rebuke from the church itself. This is like a pretty heavy thing for them to say that he had like misrepresented his relationship with a church elder to basically say they were business together, or, you know, to cloud himself up a little bit more. And it's funny. It's just the church elder just has the same last name as him. So he seemingly just chose a guy to make it sound like they were related or had.
That was so funny.
Wow.
So it was like a 3-month window from like the movie coming out to him just like hawking white pill supplements on his Instagram channel.
He's hanging out with Alex Jones.
He's looking more and more like Alex. Like, he's getting redder and redder. Looks more like he cries.
What turns these people red? Like,
it's the supplements, dude.
Is it really?
Oh, I think it has to be.
I need some of that.
I told you, Miles, I don't think that I've said this on the show, but I actually have a friend who works with the publication that you published this in some capacity, with their training. And actually, your name came up in part of their training materials on like how to handle people who are pissed off about you. has that changed? Has that calmed down? Are people still like being normal to you? Or what was that process like after the article came out?
That was like the most sustained like level of vitriol that I've ever had. It probably went about 6 weeks. And
yeah, I know. I saw it go on for like at least 2 weeks. People, for context, for people who didn't witness this, Miles published this article about the studio, and so many right wingers came out against Miles and called you all sorts of insane shit, and just like they were going in on you.
Well, let's be a little more exact than that. Primarily, they called him a pedophile.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to say that, but that is what they called you. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So the funniest part of that whole process was at some point, some people showed up to the Rolling Stone office in New York. And to be clear, I'm in LA. I work remotely. But they did have a sign. My colleague, EJ Dixon, who's an amazing reporter, also did a piece about how Sound of Freedom was just like totally trashed by actual sex trafficking experts who said it totally misrepresented the issue and did harm to victims and so on. So they were mad at her too. I had just given the movie a panned it, just like as a piece of shit, which it is. It's like, yeah. Not like even if you agreed with the message, I'm like, this is just bad filmmaking and it sucks. but they showed up with a sign that said, Miles Klee, EJ Dixon, demons. And someone who, I think this was a New York freelancer who covers a lot of like protests and you know, street activism and stuff. And she got a great video of them like hoisting this sign around. And I felt bad because my coworkers who actually, you know, work there had to walk around these people and, you know, get through them to basically get out of the building and get home while I was just safely sitting 3,000 miles away, like still shitposting, still making fun of them.
Oh, that's fucking, I didn't know about that. Holy shit. That's really, I love these right-wing freaks so much. I mean, it's a little scarier when they start showing up with like protest signs and like threatening people, but oh my God, for you, that must've been amazing. For everyone at the office, it must've been a little scary.
Yeah. It's a great move to show up like on a work day by people who usually try to attack you for having like a fake job or whatever. It's like, well, what are you doing here on a Wednesday?
That's a good point.
I'm surprised they weren't like driving a car. Like right-wing protests are always like them in a line of cars, just like honking their horns. The convoys. The right-wingers love their
convoy
protests.
We've had truck convoys, but we haven't had our like a Jesus van convoy. Like you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. The John 316 vans. That's the next convoy that needs to happen. I would love to see that.
I think
Q convoy.
Yeah, no, I think we're just seeing the beginning of American convoy, like protests. I think we're just beginning. They're going to get crazier. I think so. I think they're going to get crazier. I think because as right wingers, like they're getting older. They're just going to get bigger and bigger cars. They're going to protest more just by sitting in their car. Like to me, that's just like the inevitability in the next 10 years.
Then we have like the Wally scooter convoy.
I'm up for the Cybertruck convoy. I will go cover that.
That would be so sick.
When Elon has to discontinue the Cybertruck, you know, like 2 months from now, and the people who own them just go like protest at the factory. Oh, that'll be amazing.
Wait,
did you guys see that they're already rusting?
No. Oh my God. They are. They just came out.
Like, yeah, they're already, people are like, why? Like, especially people who live like next to the ocean, as anybody who lives next to saltwater knows, if you live near the ocean, you are constantly battling. Like if anything that's metal, like rust. And Cybertruck is losing that battle very quickly. There's people posting like, you know, so first of all, these are happening to like just the factory finishes. They're getting like rust spots. But if you dent any of the paneling or anything like that, any crack that you get in there is going to start rusting because of the coat, and they didn't put a clear coat on top of it. So these things are going to look like Mad Max pieces of shit within like a year.
They're like unrepairable too. Like you can't, where are you going to take that to get repaired except the dealership, which will be like, well, we have to replace that entire panel.
Yeah, well, it's even worse than that. I just started looking into this, but I was like, okay, we're talking tunnels this week. I can't go down this rabbit hole, but I'm pretty sure that with the Cybertruck rust situation too, like you can't just replace a panel. You have to replace the whole door. So
hell yeah.
Anyway, that makes it like so much more expensive and awful.
So holy basically shit. It's like a dented can at the grocery store. Like you're not allowed to touch it anymore.
Cybertruck's giving you botulism.
A dented Cybertruck full of beans would go so hard.
Oh, new bean dad just dropped. There's a new potential bean dad. Also, this is just another aside from this aside. There was a Tesla like shareholder compensation plan for Elon Musk, and there was it was the thing that got overturned by the courts a couple of days ago. You guys saw that, right? Where the courts were like, no, we're not paying Tesla like billions of dollars in compensation. And I just saw like there was an amazing reply to a post about that that lives just in my head, because you were talking about like Miles, you said like, oh, bring the Tesla Cybertrucks to go protest. But this person says, and this is like one of my favorite replies of all time, in response to the court news, we should all we should all show up at the courthouse, set our horns to fart, and fuck, I'm laughing too hard. Let me compose myself. Okay.
It's very rare that June cannot make it through a sentence. It has to be pretty good.
I know, it's good. Okay, this is the one. We should all show up to the courthouse, set our Tesla horns to fart, and bless them all day long until they fix the decision.
Until they fix it. Okay, so
the most successful legal appeal in history.
Yeah, set the horns to fart.
Did you guys? Okay, well, fuck it. We're on the diatribe now. We will talk about tunnels soon, but we're in left field. We might as well stay out here for a bit. Did you guys read any of the leaks on that? Because I read the entire cross examination, and it is the amount of the amount that the lawyer hates Elon Musk. Like, he would fit in on this show. It was amazing. He fucking hates Elon, and it shows. And he's just like dog walking him the entire time. I don't know that it's really gonna like matter all that much, because like what they're arguing about is like Elon Musk's compensation. The shareholders sued because Elon misrepresented his relationship with members of the board. And that basically what's going to happen is they're just going to revote on it. And he's going to get his money. Cause like, I sincerely doubt it's really going to materially impact how much money he gets. It's going to take him longer or whatever. But it is if you have like a good 40 minutes and you want to see someone just ripping him apart and making him look stupid. He was completely and totally unprepared for that cross-examination. His lawyer didn't object once. He just let it happen. And he said the phrase, "I believe comedy is legal," 3 times. So,
no. Yeah. The lawyer said that to
no,
him?
Elon Musk said it.
Yeah. Elon said, oh, because I cannot believe.
He's making fun of like all, because he calls himself like the techno king, techno Viking, fucking whatever. It's like his job title. And he's like, and you're sober when you come up with this name, like dead serious. He's like, "I believe comedy is legal," or whatever. It's just like so fucking funny.
He's like the embodiment of Reddit. I can't believe it.
Yes. So it's very funny too, because like a lot of the stuff that they're talking about happened when he was still Epic Bacon Reddit man. Like now he's gone, like he's veered very far right. And it's like, he's like very clearly not having fun. And he's like pissed. He's like pissed Elon, dark Elon now.
Yeah. He's like, he went from Reddit Elon to like 2012 4chan Elon. He's like a different beast entirely.
Yeah. Just all kinds of designer drugs, allegedly ketamine and all that, playing fucking Elden Ring for 12 hours straight, just completely fucking miserable. No longer building his space utopia. But it was actually fascinating, and I think we kind of talked about having a guest that we'll leave anonymous on to talk about that in the future. But if that's something you guys want to hear, let us know, because that's really fun. There's a lot going on there.
Hell yeah!
But anyway, we are not here to talk about Elon Musk this week. We are here to talk about tunnels, and it's very funny, Miles. We actually just found out that the guest we'd had planned did a documentary on people living underground. We weren't able to make that happen. And then as soon as I got that news, I saw you release that your article, the 2024 is the year of the tunnel.
People have been saying it's the year of the tunnel. It's been a short year so far, but everyone's saying
it. I'm pretty sure, June, that you said that already on an episode.
Like, I think this I did.
So I saw that and I was like, okay. When I DM'd you, Miles, I was like, I'm pretty sure that was what we were going to call the episode. It was like year of the tunnel, because you're completely right. So first off, tell us about your article, and then we'll kind of go through some tunnel talk.
Yeah, so I was just interested in a bunch of the tunnel stuff that's been going on lately. Obviously, the most politically charged stuff has to do with Israel and Hamas, mm-hmm. and sort of the pretext for bombing civilian locations in Gaza as, oh, you know, there was a tunnel there, and it's just kind of this afterthought, especially with some of that stuff just being straight up misinformation, either from the IDF or people who support Israel. like a little too strongly. And from there, I kind of just went through, you know, kind of the recent history of tunnels being this totally sort of extremist coded thing, because a lot of right wing conspiracy theories, like in the Trump era, have to do with stuff happening supposedly underground, deep underground military bases, you know, tunnels and comet ping pong that they're using to sexually traffic children. There's this whole, I think, political imagination that has to do with stuff happening underground. And when stuff like either, you know, Hamas tunnel debate really pops off, or, you know, the mirror flip side thing that felt really surreal, which was the Brooklyn Synagogue tunnel, the Chabad Center,
which we'll get into a little bit later in the episode.
People just lose their shit. People lose their shit about it. And, you know, that's a funny example too, because that's like obviously just a very crude passageway dug into one building because some, you know, splinter sect from Chabad wanted to retain access to the building that they no longer owned. But it was spun into this thing of like, you know, a very anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, let's be clear, of like, you know, this vast network of tunnels. It got so ridiculous that, you know, there was a building collapse a few neighborhoods away in Brooklyn at the end of last week. A construction worker died. It's very sad. It's not clear if they were like working without this permit. There's still some questions about that. But because this is also like a kind of like Hasidic neighborhood, or there's like, you know, footage of fire trucks and ambulances responding to the scene, and you can see some like Hasidic bystanders.
Yeah, see, I saw that video. Probably someone who is anti-Semitic and made it, of course, sound like a very suspicious thing. They're like, oh, it's, it has to do with the tunnels, I bet. Like, that's why there's the Jews there. And it's like, well, come that's on, just like, dude.
It's in South Williamsburg, that neighborhood, isn't it? Like, it's just a Jewish neighborhood.
It's a fully Hasidic enclave. Like, when I used to live out there, the big problem was that the city painted a bike lane on sort of the main thoroughfare, and the Hasids kept removing the bike lane because they didn't want women in revealing clothing riding their bikes through their neighborhood.
Oh my
God. So that was like a 1 or 2 year ongoing fight. And because they are such a strong voting bloc, because they all vote, eventually the city usually relents on a lot of stuff. So that's kind of, the Hasidic lobby in New York City is incredibly powerful.
That area was a big problem for kind of the vaccination stuff as well. And I think when you look at the map of like a 2016 presidential vote, I think it's like the only red area on the Oh no, Staten Island. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Staten Island. Shout out.
Shout out to you guys.
Shout out to MAGA Island.
I bet they have beautiful boats out there.
Oh, absolutely. And jet skis. Yeah.
Jet ski. Oh yeah.
So when this last collapse happened, it just kind of fueled, you know, especially for these big anti-Semitic accounts, some of them are the, I've written about this too, but there are these like very strong pro-Palestinian accounts that actually pivoted from being kind of like Andrew Tate guys or you know, other kind of racist far right shitheads, just because they hate Jews so much. It's like, it doesn't really have anything to do with the plight of people in Gaza.
It's weird. We probably have been like, because a lot of those accounts I've been watching, but they were like Andrew Tate, and then like specifically over last summer they were like really into the transphobia panic. Like a lot of them were a lot of the people that were fueling that, and then now they're the like weird pro-Palestine pseudo-Nazism
It'll be like a classical statue avatar that believes we must return and like hates pronouns, but it's also like, I am a champion of the people of Gaza. So,
which is like insane. all on their end, people like that, it's of course a grift, obviously. Like,
That's
and a whole different.
And it's disappointing too to see people you actually respect who have been very vocal about Palestine stuff, like retweeting like some of these garbage dudes who, to be clear, like not only are, you know, have this conspiracist right wing fascist background, but are putting out a ton of misinformation. Like, it's not good information to begin with. they will just say anything. And so like, this was a classic example. These guys were just like, oh, this is because the tunnel network. Some of them either said the specific tunnel at the synagogue is collapsing. It was, you know, it was a completely different neighborhood. It's like 4 miles away. Or or they went really big with it and they said, you know, the tunnel system is all over in New York. You know, the Hasids are like, I saw the phrase Semitic tunnels.
No.
Oh, my no. God.
Which is just really going to a place where, you know, only Elon's Twitter makes this possible, I think. But but just kind of positing that these are all over the borough, maybe all over the city, maybe the entire city is going to collapse. Like I saw Richard Spencer, you know, infamous neo-Nazi, post like a cartoon image of a building like sliding into a, like, you know, basically like a pit, and you know, referencing the tunnels. And this was the day this collapse happened. So he's basically saying, you know, because Jews are like digging all under our shit, everything's just going to collapse into a giant earth.
Did you, any of you guys see the video of the actual tunnel at all?
Like the one of that synagogue?
Yes. Of 7-7. Did any of you guys see the, not even the, like the basement. I mean the actual tunnel. There's,
I think I only saw the basement.
Yeah, so it's not like, in terms of like tunnels, we're going to talk about Tunnel Girl here in a little bit. Her tunnel was way more sophisticated than this. Like this,
oh, their tunnel sucks.
Their tunnel is like a block long and sucks. Like it's shitty. It's a piece of shit, dog shit tunnel that like, you know, when we're kind of,
they're brand new. They're brand new to the tunnel game. They're just learning. They didn't consult Kala, the tunnel girl. They really should have. Is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Although apparently this took them a couple of years to make. I just don't see the effort up there on the tunnel walls.
It's not that. It's like, that's kind of what I was thinking about. I was doing my research for this because there are some who posit that like, do any of you guys know much about Hasidic Jews? Here in the Pacific Northwest, I had to learn a lot about this in the last 2 weeks or so because we don't have any Jewish enclaves out here.
There's like the Chicago area, there's like some, but it's not nearly the same as like New York, the New York community. It's quite small from what I can gather comparatively.
Well, I'll just say this, like, each like there's like different branches of like Hasidic Judaism, and like they're kind of like Game of Thrones houses where like each one has like a different like kind of like great house, and that's kind of where they have the different ones, like the Chabad Lubavitch, is that how you say it? Chabad Lubavitch,
that dude, that one dude.
Well, that's the 770 Crown Heights. That's the second largest. It's not even the largest group of Hasids, but like,
okay.
If you've ever been to New York and had a stranger walk up to you and go, excuse me, are you Jewish?
Are you Jewish? Yeah.
That's the Chabad Lubavitch.
That's the Chabad guys, because their belief is they don't do outreach in the same way that Christians are, where they convert you. But what they're doing is all Jews are like, it's like Jewish essentialism in a weird way, where like all Jews are ontologically different and need to be supported by and brought under the umbrella of like this temple, basically. And part of one of the other things that they believe, and that kind of doctrine was Rabbi Schneerson, who died in 1994. And what they believe is, and the reason that I'm talking about this to begin with is like that he they're Messianic Jews, and that Christ was not the Messiah, but a Messiah is coming. And some of them within this community believe that Rabbi Schneerson is coming back. And one of the prerequisites for him to come back is to expand the temple. And that's what kind of the implication is here.
Oh, I see. So that like the expansion is like the tunnel. They're okay.
Yes, to go back to what Miles said, to connect to the building that they no longer own. And then also that was part of the Women's Study Center. And I talked to a friend of mine who grew up, who's no longer Hasidic, but grew up kind of in this milieu, I suppose, and said, well, it's actually not even that uncommon for like the tunnel. There wasn't really, probably by their calculus, like made with nefarious purposes, for the simple fact that like it's actually pretty common in these temples to like study in the women's area, because they don't actually, they only come to the temple one day a week. So the men who study there, and there's a big part of the Chabad, I guess their entire job in certain temples is just to study the Torah all day. And so they often do study in the women's area on days that they're not there. So there's like a bunch of like very reasonable, non-anti-Semitic, like reasons for this tunnel to have been built. But that is not what the internet has really latched onto, I suppose.
I mean, people I know who should be way less credulous than they were in this moment were like, you've got to look at this article from Vice from 2012. And it was like a Hasidic whistleblower who was like, there's tunnels everywhere and they're all raping children. And I was like, guys, come on.
Yeah. Like, and that goes back to like what Miles, you were talking about in your article about how it, like, especially, and that was back from 2012. That was like pre-Trump era. But a lot of these conspiracies, right-wing crazy conspiracies, go back to like, bad things are happening and you just can't see them. They're all hidden. They're underground. They're in these networks that we have to expose. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, let's be honest too, because like child abuse in some, not saying this community there, although it is in some of these Hasidic and Orthodox communities is a real thing that happens, by the way. But like
that goes for like every religious institution, Catholicism, like that's just like kind of a given when you're talking about any religious institution, I think.
Especially one that's like kind of on the margin and is like very insular. You know what I mean? That just, kind of is a breeding ground for that kind of thing. But like, you're not doing the victims of this any, like you're, it's a massive, massive disservice to be like, oh, there's like all these, you know, this underground tunnel network that where this is happening when it's actually is happening just at it for different reasons, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of, it's now thinking about this as we're talking about it, it's kind of funny that we have Miles back on for another topic like this, because I think that goes back to what we said about the whole Sound of Freedom thing. Like it presupposes and puts fear into a lot of people of like these like insane networks of abuse. And when it's like these things are like real, but like not in the way that people are talking about them or being portrayed in these like weird, like I'm doing air quotes, but like citizen journalism on Twitter, or like the dude who made the Sound of Freedom movie, like the ways that they're being talked about are just like not at all how it actually is, you know?
Yeah. And I guess since we're kind of doing this backwards anyway, the example of that I wanted to bring up was a friend of the show, Dom Luker. You guys know who he is. We've talked about him a couple times. Did any of you guys get a chance to watch his documentary?
Quote unquote documentary.
It's 28 minutes.
Yeah. How long is it?
It's 28 minutes.
28, 23 or 20. It's like 20 something minutes. So first of all, he crowdfunded over $10,000 for this, for a YouTube
video. Crowdfunded for that. I did not know that. Yo, no fucking way. Oh, okay. I'm so much more excited. I was like already excited to talk about this, but holy, I cannot. Oh, this makes it so much worse.
Is it the sort of thing where he spent like $500 and pocketed the rest? What do you think?
Yes. Oh, that is exactly
okay.
What happened.
I had a feeling.
Go on. Sorry. Okay. I am so excited.
We'll get to, because there's some serious stuff that happens that's involved with this that I do want to talk about, but we'll get to that at the end because it's like actually something, they actually did something super fucked up.
Yeah.
He like, okay, we'll just say first. He got the same people that made the Died Suddenly documentary to like help him get an interview with an activist who is like speaking out against child abuse in Orthodox Jewish communities. And Manny Wachs, I think is how you say his last name. But what they did was they approached him under a false pretense and then said, we want to talk about your experience, and did like an hour long Zoom call with this guy where he's talking about this. And at the very end, they asked him about Crown Heights. And there's like 5 minutes of that. And then this was not Dom Luker interviewing him, by the way. It was, her name's Lauren something or other. She's like just an outright fucking Nazi, basically, who does this interview with him. He doesn't know who she is. And then for the documentary, Dom Luker films himself sitting down in front of his computer and like he's talking to this guy. And he's like going like, oh man. And like nodding his head and like shaking his head, looking like scared and sad as like this scary music is playing. And then at the very end of the interview, they just briefly talk about Crown Heights. And he's like, oh yeah, you know, anytime that a group like this operates in like without transparency, like this is like, this can happen. And that was like basically all he said in like an entire 90 minute or over 1 hour interview. But Dom literally films himself in like he's doing the interview about Crown Heights with this guy to make it look like this is like a rampant thing that he's talking about.
Yeah. And I'll be honest. So I was driving home from work is when I was listening to this. So I wasn't watching. I didn't necessarily notice the whole like weird cuts or anything. Mm-hmm. So I thought the entire time this guy was talking
about. So just audio only, you think he's interviewing him.
I thought he was interviewing him. Yeah. And I thought he was talking about the Crown Heights community the entire time. the way it's portrayed is it's meant to sound like that, but that is just not the case. Yeah. And then I only found out by looking in the comments after I got home, like, oh, he fucking pulled a fast one.
Yeah,
he, like, that is it was the, yeah,
that is the shit. It's like funny, but it's also like when you consider like what he's doing and who he's talking to and who he did this to, that's like very not funny. But like just the footage of him like he's holding his face, shaking his head. Like, it's so fucking funny, like, that he's, like, doing this and he's stealing essentially thousands of dollars from his imbecile followers. And, like, so for the actual film, what he does is he goes to, like an abandoned, like, subway rail. And he's, like, essentially presenting it as, like, where, like,
it's the tunnel.
Child sacrifice
He's going to find the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles abusing children down there.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, that's, like, literally what he did is he went to, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles headquarters or whatever. And, like, he goes to – it's so fucking funny. He goes to – and I posted a thread about this on the show Twitter a couple of the screenshots of this, and he finds just like a shitty old jacket that's like a small jacket. He's like, this could have been taken from a child or whatever. Like, yeah. Like, and they're not even underground yet, by the way. This is just on the street near a subway tunnel. He's like, here's evidence of like what's happening to these kids. And then
keep in mind, there's ominous music in the background. Yeah. It's like duh, duh.
It's like so. It's the music is not even just present. The music is so loud it's hard to hear him because the documentary was produced so poorly, like you can't even hear him talking at some points. So they eventually do get underground, and there's like this is like normal graffiti that he's like, oh my god, this is just like the FBI classified symbols of pedophilia, where it's like the squiggly triangle.
He's going True Detective down there.
Yeah, dude, he really is. He's like, fine. It's just like, it doesn't look like that at all. I posted it on our Twitter. It's like the person's name, and it's like just in like, it's just tagged. You know what I mean? And it doesn't look, it's first of all, it's not classified. It was declassified. And if you know anything about that document, it's like something that the FBI sends out to local law enforcement. And then with the, comment of like, does this line up with what you're seeing? Send us a survey back. So it's not the FBI is, first of all, that whole like squiggly triangle thing that you're seeing everywhere. Yeah. It's not like, they put it in toys to like torment you and like put to mark your child and all shit. No, they're not. They're saying like, it's like, and it's also for the record, it's not classified. It's completely unclassified. It was came from WikiLeaks, but it's not classified information at all. You can see that. And it's not even just the triangle. There's a bunch of different ones, but he's like, this is like, just like the pedophile FBI, fucking whatever symbols. And anyway,
when I was listening to that, cause I wanted to see, so I would like, of course, you know, don't report me to the police, but I would look at my phone when he was talking about some of that stuff. I was like, oh, okay, I want to see what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But then entire time when they were in like that subway, I'm like, oh, this is just like baby's first urban exploration.
Yeah,
basically
all he was doing basic urbex for the record.
Yeah, yeah.
And he presented absolutely. It as if he was these were like connected to like the very shitty one block tunnel built at Crown Heights. And like,
yeah. Yeah, like, cause I've done like some urban exploration before, and I've gone to like an abandoned YMCA, and in this YMCA, people tag shit, people leave clothes, people leave shoes, people leave whatever. Like, that's just like how abandoned sites are, or like sites that people don't normally go to are. They're like tagged up with like weird shit. I've seen like KKK meeting here tagged at a location before. It's like that's. Like, I don't know. People just do shit. I don't know.
You go there and you meet the monster from It Follows. That's that's fine. That's normal.
That's just how it is at abandoned locations.
Yeah. Go. By the way, while we're talking about this, go look at our Twitter, and if you haven't seen it yet. And I posted the screenshot of him like putting his hand on top of like the graffiti that says is like the pedophile symbols.
It's so funny.
It's very funny. And then also, for the record, I can't confirm this, but I saw somewhere that somebody in the comments was saying like the place that you went to is like 25 miles away. Like, what are you talking about? it's like physically impossible for this to have even been connected to Crown Heights. And then he does, essentially the same thing again, except for he goes upstate New York and he goes to like some sort of like bunker. It's like, this is also where they're doing this. Like, it's not even in New York City. You're like fucking 3 hours away.
The cabal has a bullet train from there.
Yeah. And he like has this spooky ass music. It's completely at the very end of the documentary. He's like, and it all happens in New York City. And it's like, dog, you are 3.5 hours outside of New York City or whatever, based on Google Maps. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So,
yeah, no, that basically the whole documentary is just like some of the most like misleading, like the funny thing too, I don't know if you wanted to say more about the documentary, but I was like browsing the comments before we started, and that even a lot of like his fans were like, you stole content, you did this, we're also disappointed in you, you did, like, this is a horrible documentary, this is like nothing. So that was really cathartic to watch.
He got dragged.
Like, I didn't realize that he got that he upset. I thought that nothing could make his fan base turn on him.
Well, after there was a schism. Let's be fair. He still has shooters.
He does. Actually, yeah. Actually, you're right, Alex. For people who don't know who this is, we're talking about Dom Luker, the guy who got suspended on Twitter for posting.
CSAM, like, that's why he got he got suspended, and then Elon brought him back for posting child pornography.
Yeah. And yeah, Elon intentionally brought this dude back. Like, that's that same dude that made this documentary. This is the
guy. Yeah. So, and he still has shooters, but like, it was insanely funny to me that like he, after all this, that's when I sent you guys the screenshot of like the Twitter space. It was his screenshot was like called like addressing the allegations and the community of the tyranny of community notes or whatever, because
the tyranny of community notes.
Did any of you listen to that space?
Community notes are so funny because they've really become like, they have become a way for people to slap one another around, and like, and like Elon's like uncritical supporters now are like, well, you can't trust a community note, because the community notes occasionally will not benefit them.
And you get demonetized. Your post gets demonetized if it gets community noted. So there's like a word.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why like some of these people are so pissed off, like Dom Luker and all of these like right wing grifters, because if they could, they deal in sensationalism. And when they do that, now they'll get community noted and they won't get their money for all of the views of their sensationalist like posts. So they're fucking pissed about it.
Yeah. So he has this space, and it's not really worth talking about the entire space. It was like 45 minutes long. I don't know did any of you guys listen to it?
No.
Yeah. You didn't miss anything. But he essentially has like this town hall where he's like, because all that happened really was he got community noted because the activist that he had stolen from and really fucked over by being associated with this, like, spoke out and released a statement. And I did quote tweet that when I linked the stuff, when I posted the stuff earlier. So I recommend that you go read that, because it's the level that they stooped to get him to participate in that quote unquote documentary is abysmal. And most people won't ever hear about that like agree with this. So it's like even worse that like the bare minimum that could happen is him getting community noted on Twitter, even though most of the people won't give a fuck about that. And they just like, it makes him sympathetic in a way. But he goes on and he does the spaces, and it's all people that are just like, you're brave. They're just trying to silence you, dude. Like, this is how you know it's working. And it's like, oh my fucking God.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then it just turns into, I mean, there was some slightly, and you know, he gives himself plausible deniability of like the allegations of like anti-Semitism, because he won't say anything directly that's anti-Semitic. And it's very funny because he calls it.
And I was surprised by that, because his Twitter presence is very like blatantly anti-Semitic. Like he's one of the guys that deals, like when the original tunnel thing, the Hasidic Jew tunnel thing started, he was one of the biggest proponents of being like, there's child sacrifices down there, there's like some shady stuff, there's like he was like one of the biggest guys that was pushing like the anti-Semitic narrative about that.
Yeah, but he'll say, and it's very funny because he calls it anti-Semantic, which is like, just Dom Luker is a fucking idiot. This first and foremost, I gotta respect him. He's like, he's on my same frequency, because we're both morons. So like, I get where he's coming from a little bit.
I gotta say, you don't have to respect him. You have my permission.
Let me rephrase
hand it to him.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hand it to ISIS. I will say that I respect a fellow moron going out into the world and trying to make content, but You're wrong. And what he also does is like in his space, he says like, well, I'm not anti-Semitic because like say where I said I hate Jews, but while you're like making a documentary about how there's a hidden network of like fuck cannibalistic child
say sacrificed. Where I hate Jews is so is like that shoots the moon for like the dumbest possible shit I've ever heard in my life.
They're just Jewish chuds in the sewers. What's the big deal?
Yeah, dude. Look at this man scurrying out from under a manhole who happens to be a Hasidic Jew. I don't say I hate him. I'm just saying, look at this imagery and tell me it doesn't confirm your existing beliefs about Jewish people, right?
They're like, demons and they're definitely trying to rape your kids, but I never said I hate them.
Yeah. And it's also funny too, because he's like, well, I'm also of the belief that this is happening in the Catholic Church too. So it's not just about Jews. And that's
thank you, Dom. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for shining the spotlight on the Vatican.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to raise $100,000 and go to the Vatican.
That's what would be his defense.
I would donate to that.
Honestly, sexual assault in the Catholic Church sounds a little far-fetched to me.
So. alleged.
Yeah. Dom, you gotta look into this.
I think you need to get a lot of money, like a lot of money from your followers.
I'm not joking that Dom sitting down with Francis, Pope Francis, should be on CNN primetime.
I would watch that. But no, one of the last things about this documentary in specific that I just was like dying at is because as Caleb lined out, it was like a really like horribly put together documentary. He was all over the place trying to portray it all like right around this synagogue where like the tunnels happened. But there was one point in the documentary near the end where it was like really clear he just like wanted some sort of like more content, and he just like started talking to some people on the street.
Yes, dude, like, that was so fucking funny.
Yeah,
that was, he goes like, to some part. Guy like near the subway. He's like, what do you think about Jews like sacrificing kids? And he's like, man, that is crazy or whatever. Like, it's just some guy.
He just starts doing TikToks at the end.
Yeah, there's like man on the street shit. Like, what are you doing? It's very clear that he just like brought his entourage out to New York for like less than 48 hours. And then like, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, that's good.
That's like, that's like when a Twitch guy goes to Tokyo and just does like the most dog shit content you've ever seen, where they're like being casually racist towards whoever they show up.
Oh, yeah. The Paul brothers, like when they went to Japan.
Yeah. It's definitely giving that. Yeah. How much money do you think Dom pocketed after all of this?
Thousands. I mean, come on. I don't know what his like operating costs were for his one cameraman, but like they did all of that in like a day. They had to have like a day, maybe two, because they did, to be fair, go upstate. But like, it was all just done. And they went to 770, and they like, the guy brought him in and gave him like a tour, by the way. He's like, the tunnels were closed off.
Yeah, he was actually there. Yeah.
He was there, but he wasn't in, they didn't go to the tunnels because it's closed off. But the guy told him like what I was saying before about like the Rabbi Schneerson being the Messiah and coming back. He basically said we had to expand the temple for this purpose. He didn't say it outright, but he did, if you know how to read between the lines. And like Dom Luker's like, yeah. So he just basically admitted it. Like, you know, like he's so bad at what he's doing. It's like, I can't tell. He's one of those rare cases where he oscillates in such a manner that like, I can't tell if he's a true believer or if he's a moron. Like, does he know what he's doing or is he stupid? Like, I don't know.
I personally think he's like just mostly stupid.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Dude, you know what? Getting into the synagogue, that's like a classic Michael Moore move. There's something Roger and me about that where he got the interview. That's great. Like, they do no due diligence on this guy whatsoever.
It was just some guy, and they just, because they were doing like there was some sort of like open temple thing, and like they were just in there, like, and they're like, yeah, come on in, we'll show you. Like, it just normal. The guy was like explaining like what happened, and like, yeah, there's like a splinter group that
I'm like, shocked they let you film in there like that.
Yeah, I think that this community really needs like a PR guy first between the
volunteer,
guy coming out of
I volunteer,
the,
yeah. I could do it.
Please make sure
Miles,
like,
it's your moment.
I will get them a fire social media account, and we'll do it.
And reach out, Miles Klee.
Just, you know, for the brand's sake, can you make sure no more people scurry out from under manhole covers? Because that really,
hard to spin.
Yeah, that's a hard one to spin. That one sucked. I really
it did suck. Yeah. But just like on an objective level, I did think it was like kind of like if it was anyone doing that, I thought it would be
yeah,
really
it's an
funny.
Absurd, yeah. hilarious thing to happen. Yeah. But I'm thinking like I'm ethnically Jewish. What's this is like not this is not good for the brand.
Yeah,
this
no,
is no good.
Yeah. horrible, hateful people ruined what was extremely
a hilarious
funny.
Fun moment that we all should have enjoyed and cherished together.
Like that was Looney Tunes level. We should have been able to enjoy that.
You know, Warner Brothers took that Acme versus Coyote movie from us, and all we had was those tunnels that they had in the synagogue.
This was
and
the
now
backup
we can't
plan.
Even enjoy those.
Remember what they took from you.
No, but that's so funny because like the day that whole thing happened, there was a tweet like an hour after that first video came out, and the tweet was like, this is going to be one of those events where it's really fun to riff about and talk about and laugh at for about an hour until all the most racist and anti-Semitic people in the world ruin it. And that's like exactly what happened, like immediately. It was, yeah, it's just such a shame.
I mean, I got scolded by a mutual for laughing about January 6th when it was happening. So kind of, yeah, it's not exactly the same thing, but unfortunately, I still think January 6th is hilarious.
Oh my god, like the videos of people climbing the walls and like falling? Hilarious.
Yeah. And then the camera immediately pans left to the stairs. Like that's one of the funniest things that's ever happened.
Yeah. Just objectively, there's just things that are bad but are objectively funny.
How
like,
can
I'm
not
sorry.
Laugh
it's just
at
true.
Baked Alaska like trying to hack Nancy Pelosi's laptop? That's the funniest shit ever.
Yeah. You tried the password Satan 666. Fucking moron. Fucking idiot. Baked Alaska is another one that's in the Dom Luker category where it's like he's so stupid that like I love to watch. Like again, respect isn't the right word. That was the wrong word for me to use for Dom Luker. But
I'm
just
sorry
gotta,
I gave you such a hard time.
No, that, you're right to.
They've got the
right
juice. They've got the
that.
Juice.
He's got Baked Alaska they has got the juice. Juice. And when he did that, like there was one. Well, I remember what he did. He got arrested and he was like trying to explain to the cops that like. I have a song called "We Love Cops" or whatever. Like, as have you guys seen that? It's so fucking funny. He's just the biggest. No,
he should have tried. Awesome. He should have sung it in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to like the January 6th, there was like a woman that got arrested. It's like kind of an iconic video, but she like got pepper sprayed or something by a cop. And she was like, she was getting interviewed by some guy and she's like, the cops, they just pepper sprayed me and my husband. And they were like, we have like Blue Lives Matter signs and they're coming for us now. And it's, I don't know, just stuff like that.
It's like an adult finding out Santa Claus isn't real. Like, oh, wait, you mean the cops aren't your fucking friends? Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to wrap it for hour one. We do have some fun stuff kind of coming up in hour two.
Yeah, part two. Yeah, we're gonna have House of Decline is gonna be joining us. Miles is still gonna be here.
Yes,
we're gonna be. We're talking more tunnels.
I'm a huge House fan, so I want to talk to Dr. House.
Wonderful. Hell yeah,
Miles. For those who are not gonna join us behind the paywall, where can the people find you? What do you got to plug?
Yeah, you can check out my byline at Rolling Stone. It's just Miles Klee, pretty easy to find. And on Twitter at You Wouldn't Post. That's just because I've been banned a few times, as other people here might be able to relate to.
We got that solidarity.
Well,
I
don't know how you got such a good handle after so many resurrections. I'm like, shit, that's so good.
like people finding me again, you mean?
No, can't you just got die. A really good at.
Oh, I know. I was so happy
can't
when
ever,
I got
I can't believe that
I
was
can't
available.
Ever die.
I can't believe that was available. I was so jealous.
I know. Twitter's been around for like 15 years and it was still free. I was stunned.
Because no one else has ever been banned enough to think of that. No one's been censored that much. And then
I'm the most oppressed and censored person on the planet.
That's right. And then I'm just Miles Klee at Blue Sky, where I just crossed 10,000 followers. So I guess that's my most popular spot now.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Right on. Thanks for joining us, Miles. We'll see you behind the paywall. If you would like to listen to part two with Miles and House of Decline, you can find that at patreon.com/WesternKabuki.